Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 584, Science Faction, Chem Computers and Total Bullshit.
Tell me, can a chem computer still, can I still write boobless or boobs in a chem computer?
You can. I'm trying to think in my head of the structure of molecules. I think you need one carbon that was formed just right, and then an oxygen, and another one that can make that B shape.
Nice. Nice.
And speaking of nice, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Damian Mercado. Damian, how are you doing this afternoon?
I am doing great. Tell me, are we going to discuss another function for calculators aside from writing boobs? Is there anything else you could do with a... I mean,
you could count boobs.
Okay, there we go. if you explain... Nobody explained... Like, okay, Jaime Escalante, thank you for explaining math in finally a form I can understand. Two boobs times two boobs equals four boobs.
Now we can start taking boob averages.
The average boob size in America is 3 point... You know.
This is how I find the key to Damien's mind and unlock the hidden mathematical genius that's been hiding this whole time.
Like Matt Damon, except I'm just drawing like boobs on a chalkboard.
Oh, dear. I'm happy to be back in San Diego. Those of you guys who listened to last week's episode know I was in the middle of a military base last week as one of two desert ninjas trying desperately not to get shot by the police.
Now, this is a real story that happened. And, you know, yeah. Bobby and I read about the story. Bobby was a little closer to it than I was, but...
The ninja story we discussed last week, there's a guy running around that same base in ninja garb, attacking dudes with a katana, somehow breaking many layers of security, and I also wear ninja garb. Again, I gotta put a picture up. I'll make sure to do that this week. I'll get a picture of me in my ninja garb out there. But it is fantastic to be back home in San Diego, back into the science stuff, because I'll tell you, like, when we were doing it, again, the other peek behind the scenes, we recorded that episode, as we usually do, on Monday night, and then I usually edit those down, you know, throughout the day after work or whatever, and then eventually get them posted. I had like a crazy amount of field survey to finish. So over the next 3 days, Damian, after talking to you, I walked about 36 linear miles through the desert, through sand and like brush and stuff, which is about, you know, you kind of double the mileage at that point.
You went on a walkabout.
Yes, I did. I have made from like 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. every day. I just walked through the desert looking for sites and stuff. But I fantastically finished that job and that gig and that survey, and therefore I don't have to go back there. So I will no longer be the desert ninja in Central California. I will now only be the desert ninja occasionally in Southern California.
You know, that's something I want to, you know, we have an international audience, and I want to clear up some misconceptions about California. Like the California that you picture, that you see on TV, that's like 5% of California. Most of it's just a desert you'd never want to see again. Like, it's really just for archaeologists and people who love amphetamines.
Yes, there is a lot of what we call methamphetamine enthusiasts out there. That is absolutely true. A lot of dudes who love, like, sand rails and dirt bikes and, like, Mountain Dew.
Okay, first off, that's just a refreshing drink. That's just something that pairs well with a fine evening amphetamine.
I feel like Mountain Dew chose its color because that like distinct yellow is the condition of many of their drinkers' skin after many bouts of jaundice set in. He's turned the dew color.
God rest clean brother Cletus's soul. He did the dew.
And like four of our cousins.
So he will live on through Cletus 1 through 8.
Oh, dear. Let's get right on to science articles.
From molecules to particles, this is Science Articles.
All right, article number one, chemistry computers and the hunt for life's origins.
Like chemistry computers, is that what they call whatever algorithm they use at like Match.com or OkCupid? Is a patented matchmaking technology.
Or the new Grindr option on Grubhub, where you're just like, yes, I will take food and a BJ.
you could pair it, you know.
Wait, can copyright that real quick? Because
are we going to do like a Netflix pitch, but for Grindr?
Yes. So the idea is it is a crossover, and it's just like somebody's already grabbing your Italian food off Postmates. And then as they're coming back, you have the option. There's like a checkbox for a handy that you could click as they're coming back. And it costs more. I mean, it's going to be expensive.
Oh, so what you're talking about is a food delivery prostitution service.
I wouldn't call handjobs prostitution.
Call it a business arrangement.
A handjob is prostitution, like a handshake is fighting. Like, it just doesn't qualify. It's outside that range. Yeah, it's physical contact, sure. It's a little aggressive, maybe. It ain't prostitution.
I've heard your argument in front of the Supreme Court. I'm going to look at you with the same disgust that Justice Sotomayor did.
The case of Timothy versus Chuck E. Cheese.
Elena Kagan wrote the majority decision, and it is scathing.
So anyway, I picked this chemistry story for a few reasons, but it most of all is because it was an example of a huge problem that I wasn't even aware of. And like one of those things where if you would have asked me, hey, how do chemistry labs work? I would have just assumed that this already exists. Like I would have assumed that this technology and this thing we're going to talk about is something that's been around since like the 1990s. And it turns out, no. That type of automation has been going on in physics and biology and microbiology, obviously, and a lot of pharma stuff, but not in chemistry. And we're going to talk about what seems like a pretty straightforward and reasonable thing that is for some reason not around in labs across the entire world.
Nobody's put the periodic table into a computer program yet.
I just want to make an actual table, like a kitchen table, but at, like the periodic table of the elements.
So, like, would you do it the gold portion is lined with gold? There's, like, a little pocket, like a glass.
Well, that might make the uranium part a little bit dangerous. But
Bobby, if terrorists can have uranium, why can't Bobby? I'm a libertarian. You're a libertarian.
So the issue is that chemistry is kind of stuck in like the mid-1900s when it comes to automation. And this one guy, Lee Cronin, who's been a professor in Scotland, he basically is a chemistry, he heads a bunch of chemistry labs and stuff. He is out there trying to change that with something he calls the Chemputer. Don't let the lame name get in the way. It's actually a great idea. It's basically an automated chemistry lab, which he believes will bring out a Moore's Law of chemistry, basically a doubling every few years of chemistry knowledge based on something like this.
It's because molecules, our ability to produce molecules, smaller and smaller molecules, gets better every year exponentially.
Yes, well, more molecules and more different types and know what they do. Because right now, and here's what I didn't realize, is chemistry labs are run pretty much like they were in the 1800s. There's a bunch of people
on cocaine. Yeah.
Just making racist statements all day long.
What are you doing in the lab, Missy? This is a man's profession.
It's okay. She sells the cocaine.
And by the way, anybody who's not a white man from a rich family, you too get the hell out.
So right now, they're just basically a bunch of people with lab coats and gloves mixing chemicals in order to produce solutions and to test different drugs and different compounds. And there's basically an infinite amount of compounds you can produce. So, you know, there's a ton of work in that sense. But a lot of them, it isn't just starting from step one to step two, because you have to get to these complex things. So you have to make a whole bunch of lower level chemicals. So like 90% of those chemist jobs, not only are they doing it old school, literally pouring into beakers with their bare hands, but on top of that, they have to do a bunch of prep work to even get to the interesting part. So 90% of that pouring stuff in beakers is stuff that an undergrad could be doing, but they just have to get to the point to make the thing that they want to make. They make the molecule they want to make. So this is like really, really old school. And for a long time, this guy Lee Cronin has been like, dude, we should have automated this a long time ago. I mean, MCB labs have automated this a long time ago. They have the little, you know, the pipettes that move in and they pick stuff up and they slide. We figured this out a while ago. We in chemistry need to catch up. And he has basically been building these type of rudimentary computers that could do it. And think of what you could solve. Instead of a big lab filled with 100 people who do 90% of their really basic work recreating just to get to a certain point to actually do something, you could have those chem computers doing all of that 90% of labor, and then the chemist could come up there and take the final product, and then they could go do their experiments. Or You could even, if you had it paired with a good enough AI, have the machine itself create the chemicals and then do the experiments. It's not going to replace chemists at all. In fact, it'll probably make their contributions much more valuable. Because right now, the only way pharma steps across a new drug is they have either accidentally they stumble across it, or they're just having people experiment, trying a whole bunch of different stuff and then seeing what hits sticks to the wall. If you are doing that in an automated fashion 24/7, then all of a sudden your ability to make discoveries goes up exponentially. And then that chemist can sit there and just kind of do the final work after the machine has done all the stuff and probably get, you know, 100, 500 times as many discoveries in their lifetime. I'm amazed that we are at this point in chemistry in the super developed world in, you know, 2021. There is still a bunch of people who are pouring stuff in beakers with their bare hands. Like, this should have been a long time coming, but now it is here and his device is taking off and it's being looked at by everybody from like the US military, who's like, oh shit, if we just have a bunch of chemicals in this little 3D printer machine, we could throw that in a battlefield and have them print out everything from bandages to literally different compounds of like anesthetic. This is fantastic. To things like the question of the origin of life. And here's a big thing that I have always thought of, because I'm a
Scientologist.
I'm a materialist, and I believe in a material explanation for all things, including life, and I think it's just chemistry. But I've always been bothered that while we have certainly shown a lot of stuff with experiments like Miller-Urey and other experiments on top of that, creating amino acids and stuff, I've always been a little bothered that we haven't actually fully created life in a lab. But part of the reason for that is the conditions of early Earth were much different than now, so you couldn't just do it by yourself. You have to have a lab set up to do it. And two, the exact thing we're talking about, which is this is hampered by the bottleneck of individuals having to pour fucking shit from one beaker to another. And if all of a sudden you can do this in giant automated labs with 1,000 like robot arms and boxes doing the work for you and then analyzing it with AI, I am pretty confident that we will come to at least a few origin of life solutions within, I don't know, 5 years. It will not be much time. And that's one of his other goals. He actually has a huge grant, many millions of dollars, to do origins of life research. And he is setting his robots to task. This is awesome. And if he is right, the chemistry that we learn will probably go up, maybe not Moore's Law, but something close to it. And the stuff that your kids will be learning in their textbooks will be because of the existence of this type of chem computer.
Okay, so again, this has no application in helping me find my soulmate.
Well, that's actually a funny thing, because if your soulmate could be determined by their chemical makeup, then you might be able to process some of those results faster if the computer was around than if you were just had a bunch of people in the lab. So it could theoretically still do that.
Really, I just need somebody who's my soulmate, but also is cool with somebody with herpes. So it'd be cool if my soulmate had herpes as well.
What if you just date the computer itself? I mean, it's got a good gig.
Listen, I really want to focus on comedy. So if you could kind of bring home the bacon, as it were, computer.
I see you guys having a very bitter and angry marriage.
Are you sleeping with your iPhone as well, Damien? What, baby? The iPhone can't give me what you were busy. You were busy computing chemistry and stuff. I didn't want to bother you at work, so of course I'm going to fuck my iPhone.
I have only been programmed to speak in the language of A, T, C, and G, but you have taught me the language for love and boobless.
All right, me and Deep Blue are going to go partying again.
Now, who knows if this will end up working out? I think even the most basic form of automation in this sense will be very, very useful, whether or not they get the AI components to work all the way with it. But just the automation process will be a big deal. The AI will be an even bigger deal when that gets rolling. Who knows how long this will take for adoption because of things like regulation and just old school ideas. But I do think this is the future of chemistry. And again, this is one of those things where I'm shocked that it's not the present and past of chemistry, because I would have thought that back in like 91 or 92, when I had like a toy remote control arm you could buy from Toys R Us to pick things up with, like somebody would have automated that motherfucker to pour a beaker out.
Is it that just as the Amish kind of arbitrarily decided when they were going to stop accepting new technology, are chemists the same way? Like, they're like the Amish of the science, the hard sciences. They're like, they took a hard stance against automation. No, I'm sorry. Nay, English, nay. No robot could make carbonic acid the same way human hands do.
Yeah, every single time you go into a chemistry lab, there's just a bunch of buggies parked outside.
Hello, English.
Article number two, did we just debunk a popular theory of Native American origins?
Is this a no? Every time we you ask this question, it's usually no.
It's usually no. A couple of weeks ago, it was yes. Remember, we found like the oldest footprints ever in the Americas? That was a yes.
Yeah, but usually you use this as an excuse. You use this question as an excuse to tear apart terrible science reporting in popular media.
Sorry, Damien, despite your sureness that this indeed debunked a popular theory of Native American origins, it doesn't.
No, I'm wrong again somehow.
But you wouldn't know that from reading the insane number of headlines to this. I am so baffled, but there's a mystery behind this article, and it has nothing to do with the actual science involved. So I read the numerous headlines on this, and it was almost as frustrating as the constant Clovis first bullshit I have to read every time a new Pleistocene New World site is discovered. We talked about it on the show a bunch. But in this case, a paper came out this week that didn't change anything we knew about the populations that settled the New World, but you would never know that from the reporting. This article was everywhere. It had a better goddamn agent than Pedro Pascal. First of all, their hypothesis is insane, and the fact that they thought that this was like groundbreaking research, like I honestly almost felt like I was being individually pranked with the amount of media coverage that this story got.
Of course, we all heard of this. I mean, we probably didn't even hear of the Dave Chappelle incident because we were so inundated with this archaeological misinformation.
That's right. So what is this hypothesis? There was a hypothesis a long time ago that the origin of New World peoples was from an Ainu group, which was one of the native groups of Japan, a specific one called the Jomon that were around about 15,000 years ago. Now, this was based on a few kind of superficial similarity in lithic tool types and some other like also superficial similarities in the bone structure of early inhabitants of the Americas. And it was one idea that people had a long time ago. However, that idea went out of favor the second we got motherfucking genetics, because the genetics cleared this up decades ago. Decades ago, we knew that the forebearers of Native Americans were not Japanese. They weren't the Ainu or the Jomon. They were Beringians, who themselves were descended from Siberian peoples, not early Japanese inhabitants. This has been... like, this was something that you might have learned in, like, the 80s or 90s, but this has not been around anywhere since then, and then it was just discarded. We went, oh, no, we were wrong about that. And now it's even sillier, because now the Jomon people are, like, 15K. They might go back to, like, 20K. We know the Americas were occupied before then. Like, it would be a bizarre thing. It'd be, like, claiming, like, French people, those are the ancestors of Romans. And you're like, the Romans came before the French people. That doesn't make sense, right? So, like, we know now that the New World peoples and the Beringians predated the Jomon people by many thousands of years. So, like, it's not even a rational thing to say in 2021.
As a product of the American education system and an athlete in that American education system, I'm going to have to take your word for it and assume that the Romans did, in fact, come before the French people.
They did. The Romans came before, not the other way around.
Okay, let me write this down. But Bobby, what about the Gauls? When do the Gauls...
So the hypothesis is this. I'll read you directly from the article. Based on similarities in stone artifacts, many archaeologists currently believe, no they don't, that indigenous Americans or first peoples migrated to the Americas from Japan about 15,000 years ago. No, we don't, and that's the wrong time frame. It is thought that they moved along the northern rim of the Pacific Ocean, no they didn't, which included the Bering Land Bridge, wasn't a thing, it was a continent called Beringia, until they reached the northwest coast of North America. Stupid idea. From there, the first peoples fanned out across the interior parts of the continent and further south, reaching the southern tip of South America with within less than 2,000 years. Again, this is all nonsense, and we've known it's nonsense for decades. So what did somebody do and publish today in the most inexplicably popular thing that has come out of nonsense in a long time? An article from what I guess he is like a world-renowned physical anthropologist studying human teeth.
Russell Brand.
He studied all the teeth of ancient Japanese Jomon people and then ancient North and South Americans and said, no, turns out, guys, the natives of North and South America did not come from the ancient Japanese Jomon people. To which everybody who's read an archaeology book in the last 30 years said, Yeah, motherfucker. We know that, you weird, creepy tooth guy. You didn't need to come tell us that. And it's weird that you're telling us that. It's weird that people are covering it. It's weird that like 1,000 science news sites seem to cover this bullshit for no apparent reason.
It's not even his field. He discovered it independently of all you guys. I think we should give him a round of applause. Like, you know, you don't always need to reinvent the wheel. Sometimes, the eye has evolved several times. We just don't give a trophy to the first organism that evolved the eye. We're all eye-owning individuals.
I just want to scream at this dude. I want to be like, we've had the genetics to say this for decades, you weird fucking tooth asshole. We didn't need this shit. You want to debunk the well-accepted stork delivery theory of human conception as well? What are you going to rock us with next, you fucking tooth guy?
Guys, gravity! Gravity! It's real!
So why, you might ask, does this article pretend as if it's some kind of new discovery, and why is it so popular? I don't fucking know! I can't for the life of me tell! I don't know who in what science magazine this bizarre tooth guy gave, like, the greatest blowjob to, but somehow, again, this guy's got got a better agent than Pedro Pascal, where he's like, no, you know what, Pedro, all we're doing is Game of Thrones, Narcos, and Mandalorian, that's it, you're gonna star in all three.
Or there's another explanation to this.
Mm-hmm.
What if archaeologists are kind of finding out now that they're not invited to the other sciences parties?
Okay.
So like all the other articles, basically what they're saying is that even this tooth scientist, they look at him as a real scientist. So they're going to listen to him. You guys have been publishing for years and they just been kind of placed in the, oh, this is just too good to read. Oh, it's just too good of science.
That's where, see, Damien, this is how I know you don't know anything about science. Because if you knew anything about science, you know that the field sciences, they fuck.
Yeah, they're too busy. Listen, I'm not even going to touch this report you gave. It's too covered in chlamydia.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it happens. It's happened.
Oh, Dr. Jones just went around serial fucking all over the globe.
Dude.
Do you think, like, that's a reputation that all of you have to wear?
I can't tell you how many times in my youth when I was getting intimate with a woman and I saw the trowel scratch marks along her back and knew she was, you know, she was just an arc groupie just coming by. She didn't care about me. She cared about the trowel in my hand. And it's a fun way to live in your 20s. But if you let it consume your life and try and, you know, be that, you don't want to be that loser 40 something year old who's still banging archaeology groupies and like snorting coke when you're, you know, in your 50s. So
meanwhile, Harrison Ford does another line of blow after sleeping with a grad student who has on her eyelids, fuck me. Jesse's teaching a class.
Man, I could tell stories that would make that seem tame.
Yeah, I really pity that man as he's living the best fucking life.
I mean, that's one of the reasons that Kinsey studied almost exclusively archaeologists. They fuck.
Hmm. So if I go to Wikipedia right now, they're going to confirm what you just said.
Yeah, so it'll say archaeologists fuck for sure. Wikipedia is not dumb.
Because I one time have channeled Mr. Kinsey, and I did some research on the man, because I have to know something about it before I summon his dead soul.
Sure, of course.
Into my body.
Yeah, well, next time you can ask him how the back of my balls look. All right, thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 584, where you learned all about the computer and how it'll change our world. And how we didn't debunk any popular theory of Native American origins, despite what the science media might tell you. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 585.
Computer was not programmed for love, but was programmed for transactional hand jobs.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.